Down through the centuries, one of humankind's most pressing concerns, regardless of one's age, has been the search for significance. Who am I? Why am I here? What is my destiny? In response to weighty questions like these, Dr. Carl Sagan, the once popular scientist of the PBS TV series Cosmos, said, "As long as there have been humans, we have searched for our place in the cosmos. Where are we? Who are we? We find that we live on an insignificant planet of a humdrum star, lost in a galaxy, tucked away in some forgotten corner of a universe in which there are more galaxies than people." Whoop-de-doo. I mean, come on, doesn't that just light a fire under you, you know, to help you get out of bed in the morning and take on the world? I mean, isn't that what that's all about? Not a chance. Good grief. I mean, friends, if this is the best that science can do regarding our significance, is it any wonder that those who tend to embrace it are left feeling helpless and hopeless? In our quest, in our search for significance, science doesn't seem to have much worthwhile to contribute. We're all just living out our days in an aimless, ultimately purposeless existence, but have a nice day anyway. No wonder so many people look elsewhere for answers to the questions of their significance. Many turn to social media or popular people. They follow singers, actors, athletes, teams, influencers, even politicians in their search for significance. Perhaps with the hope that by identifying with someone who seems very significant might just help them to feel more significant. But that approach is also bankrupt. Relying on someone else's apparent importance or significance does not help you or me to genuinely discover our own significance. In their search for significance, many may give themselves to causes led by other people, perhaps with a desire to find their significance in a movement or a cause that is bigger than they are. But that too is a totally bankrupt approach, as one may lose his or her uniqueness in a cause or movement that doesn't allow for individual uniqueness or individual expression and has no room for being tolerant of those who disagree with them, who aren't part of them. Still others search for significance by pursuing money, accumulating things, trying to achieve fame and glory and the like. Yet unfortunately, they mistake such symbols of supposed or apparent success with significance. They are not one and the same. So, is there anywhere else that we can look to find genuine help in our search for significance? Absolutely. We can choose to look to the one true God and His Word, the Bible, for help with our questions and our struggles about our significance, about who we are, about our place in the universe, and such things. And when we do, friends, we are not disappointed. Psalm 8, one of King David's many psalms, is one such example, and I'd like us to consider it for a while together this morning. And I might just add as we do, if there's something that touches you, gets you excited, don't be afraid to say amen. Amen. Thank you. I knew I could count on Eric. But feel free. In verses 1 through 3, King David of Israel again writes of Psalm 8. He says, "O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouths of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger." Friends, please listen carefully. For King David and for us, the proper starting point for understanding who you are and why you are here is proclaiming and praising the one true and personal Lord God who is the creator of the universe. You don't walk away with anything else today. I hope you'll take away that. The proper starting point for understanding who we are and why we are here begins with praising and proclaiming the one true and personal Lord God who in fact is the creator of the universe. No matter what your age, whether you're younger or older or somewhere in between like me, I ain't telling you my age, Our ongoing search for significance needs to begin with declaring the truth about the one true personal God and worshiping Him. Because as we do, we'll begin to grasp our God-given place and purpose, not only in this world, but in this universe. Our quest for significance must begin with the God of the Bible. And notice how King David begins to unpack this concept. He begins verse 8 by actually addressing the God of the Bible by his personal name, Yahweh. What word we translate Yahweh, which means I am that I am. Yahweh or Jehovah is the personal name which God revealed to Moses in Exodus chapter 3. However, it gets a little lost in some of our English translations because typically English translations translate the personal name of God, Yahweh, as Lord, capital L-O-R-D. And we see that here in the ESV among other translations. But King David actually begins by addressing the true God by his personal name, the name which God has revealed to man, that he's revealed to us. Now, folks, pause for a moment and just think about that. Part of building relationships with others involves what? Sharing their personal name with them. It's what we do. We often introduce ourselves, and we introduce at least the first name and maybe our last name. The true Lord God does this with us. For our God is a personal divine being who has shared his personal name with us and desires personal relationship with people over whom he is, in fact, the ultimate ruler, Lord, and King. As King David intimates in Psalm 8, verse 1, he says, O capital L-O-R-D, O Lord, O Yahweh, our capital L, small O-R-D, for the Hebrew word Adonu for Adonai, from Adonai, that is, O Yahweh, our King, O Yahweh, our ruler, O Yahweh, our Lord. In other words, the one true God who is Lord, who is King over all, is a very personal God who can be known by his people on a first name basis, if you will. How amazing is that? It should amaze us. It should overwhelm us. But unfortunately, we take it too much for granted. The Lord reveals himself in his personal name, and he wants to be known as such. In Psalm 8, verse 1, King David also declares in praise that King Yahweh's name is what? Majestic in all the earth. O Lord, our Lord, O Yahweh, our ruler, how majestic is your name in all the earth. In Old Testament times, to highly regard a person's name was to highly regard that person. And that is what King David does here when he proclaims the majesticness of Yahweh's personal name to us. The Hebrew word for majestic or majesty conveys royalty. Royalty, majesty, royalty. And can also mean to be mighty, broad, large, powerful. And the revelation and perfection of King Yahweh's majestic, mighty, glorious, powerful name is evident, King David says, in all of the earth. In all of this world that we live in, which he in fact created. However, Yahweh's majesty, David lets us know, is not only evident in all the earth. It's not just limited to here on earth. For he also goes on to say that Yahweh has set his glory above the heavens. His majesty fills the earth, but he set his glory above the heavens. Our majestic personal God has personally displayed his glory higher than the heavens that you and I can see. How awesome is our God! King David continues to praise Yahweh's awesomeness in verse 2 when he says of God, out of the mouths of babies and infants you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. It's an interesting verse. Understand, friends, that King Yahweh has his foes. He has his enemies. Yet by his majestic power and glory, Yahweh does not need his strongest supporters in the human race to shut up his adversaries. He has established strength, or more appropriately, strength attributed to God in song, which we typically think of as praise, he has established praise to silence his enemies through the least powerful members of the human race, babies and infants. And neither we nor Yahweh's enemy better forget it. Amen? And I'll tell you what, I don't know if babies occupy the sanctuary much here, but they do where we typically attend. And it is awesome when we're doing praise songs and the babies start in. And the infants start in. I mean, it's a beautiful God thing. Our Lord is so awesomely great. He doesn't need, just the Billy Grahams and the other people, famous pastors and people of the world to make his case. He can do it out of the mouths of babies and infants to still the enemy and the avenger. Oh, my folks, King David is on a roll. Are you getting it? You feeling it? It's kind of moving. He's on a roll regarding the majestic awesomeness of our God. And I'm right there with him. Amen. How about you all? Yeah. You all keeping up? That's good, because there's more. In verse 3, King David declares that Yahweh, our ruler, Yahweh, our king, is, guess what? The creator of the universe. He's the creator of the universe. Don't check out on me. In verse 3 of our text, King David declares that Yahweh, our ruler, Yahweh, our king, is the creator of the universe. He says to the Lord, when I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place. Yes. Well, you heard it. Now I'm going to give you a quiz. Okay, it's really easy. Well, for most of you, it'll be easy. Let's see, Eric. Here you go. Friends, whose heavens did David look at and consider? Yahweh's, God's. Whose fingers, as it were, created these heavens? Yahweh's, right. Who set the moon and the stars in place? God did. Yahweh did. Very good. Some of you weren't so sure. I didn't hear you all. King David here simply confirms what the Bible repeatedly, continually declares from Genesis chapter 1 onward. The capital L-O-R-D, Yahweh, the Lord of the Bible, is the creator and the sustainer of the universe without shame, without apology, for there is no need for it. There's absolutely no need for it. Just as a little aside, in my early college days, there were kind of two phases, the early and then the later. I was figuring out what I should do. I studied science, and I can remember having an invertebrate zoology teacher, I believe taught at Cal State Los Angeles, and oh, was she ever caught up in evolutionary theory. She was just so sure that someday, somehow, somewhere, they were going to find the missing link between one species. She was hoping. She was believing. And in part of that pursuit and that journey back in those days, it occurred to me then, and it still does now, in essence, evolutionary theory denies the existence of God. And because it denies the existence of God, it consequently sees no need for a divine being's involvement in creation. You just simply need to wait around millions, or better yet, billions of years, for life to just somehow happen and develop into the staggering complexities that we even see in the natural order today. And people who believe that think we who believe in the Lord God as the creator need faith. I'm telling you, who needs to have faith? You really have to have stretched faith there. When King David looked up at the sky in his time, he probably didn't comprehend how vast the universe is. Astronomers tell us that simply what we see in the sky with our naked eyes, so to speak, is just a teeny tiny sample of what's really out there. In our universe, it is estimated that there are some 100 billion to 2 trillion galaxies. Galaxies. And in our Milky Way galaxy alone, there are an estimated 800 billion to 8 trillion planets. Try wrapping your head around those numbers over lunch today. Whew. Even so, King David, as many of us do when we're out somewhere where the lights of a city don't mar our view of the sky, as David looked up at the great expanse above him, he marveled at Yahweh's staggering power to create and fashion the universe. David exalts the magnitude of God's greatness and in the process miniaturizes the magnitude of the universe in God's presence, as Dr. John MacArthur intriguingly put it. In other words, King David saw our vast, mind-boggling universe as the work of our Creator God's fingers, or his hands, if you will. And in our Creator God's hands, the universe, as vast as it is small. It's miniature. How awesome is our God! The staggering vastness of the universe, as well as King Yahweh's far, 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 far greater power to create it all and set it all in place, should inspire wonder and awe and even trembling on our parts. And it also understandably causes us to wonder and even question our part in it. Given that the universe is immensely vast compared to us, yet is small to God, what about us? The proverbial, what about little old you, little old me? What is our significance? Well, King David wisely sought answers to such questions, not in relation to the universe, but in relation to the Creator and ruler of the universe. Folks, it is critical, it is vital, it is essential that you and I do the same. David sought to understand his meaning, not simply in relation to the universe itself, but more importantly, in relation to the one who created it and rules over it. It's vital we do the same. In Psalm 8, verses 3 and 4, David writes and muses before God, "When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him? And the Son of Man, that you care for him." Friends, your significance is found in how the one true Creator God sees you and what he does for you. Amen. Did you get that?
Yeah.
Take it. I'm going to, because it's the takeaway. It's the takeaway. Sister, love you. Love you. Marcia, thank you, dear. Seriously, I love it. Your significance is found in how the one true Creator God sees you and what he does for you. Amen. Though our universe is immensely enormous and vast, and you may seem very little in it, hear, friends, please, and embrace the truth about the one true Lord God revealed to us in the Bible. And the first is he remembers you. He, the Creator Lord God of all the universe, remembers you. He cares for you. He cares for you. Now, intriguingly, King David does not question if the true Creator Lord God is mindful of us or cares for us. That's not his problem. He wonders before Yahweh, before the Lord God, where are we? What are we? What are we human beings that you are in fact mindful of us and do care for us? Now, I'm not going to argue with David here on that, but you know, really the answer to that question, I don't care. I could care less. I care less what the answer is. What's important to me is that it's true. What's important to me, what I'm incredibly grateful for, is that the fact is the very personal, majestic, powerful Creator Lord God is mindful of me and cares for me. And the one true Creator Lord God is in fact mindful of you and cares for you and all people. Amen? How awesome is our God? Oh, my friends, that each one of you here today and those who are watching online would know without a doubt that the true Creator Lord God is mindful of you and cares for you. He remembers you. He knows your name. He knows the things that are heavy upon your heart. He knows all there is to know about you. And he loves you anyway. Because he loves me anyway. He cares for you. He expresses concern for you and positively and proactively acts with loving care toward you, oftentimes in many ways that we don't even get or realize. Now, that doesn't mean, don't go running out of here, misunderstanding me today. That doesn't mean that you will never have difficulties and disappointments. But no matter what you go through, the one true personal creator, God, remembers you and he will care for you through it. Praise God. So friend, please, 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 do not ever think even for a second that your concerns and problems aren't worth bothering God about because you think he has more important things to do. I've had folks tell me that, well, I don't bother God with my stuff. He's got other things to do. You may think you're doing God a favor by not bugging him or bothering him with your stuff, but actually, in the process of withholding it, you are dishonoring him. You are dishonoring him by limiting him and diminishing him in light of what you think he can do, not what he knows he can do. Hallelujah. Our Creator, in whose hands even the universe seems small, is more than capable, more than able of thinking about and caring for you, me, and everyone on this planet at the same time. How awesome is our God? While it might seem that you and I and others are small, insignificant, and of little importance to Yahweh, our Creator, Lord, we actually find the opposite is true in Scripture. In our eyes and in the eyes of others, we may not seem very significant in the context of a staggeringly vast universe, but that is not how the Creator, Lord God, sees us. He remembers us, he thinks about us, and he cares for us. What a beautiful and amazing thing. But why? Why? Why does God do this? King David addresses this question in part through verses 5 through 8 of Psalm 8. At least I think he does. Where once again he says of the Lord in relation to humanity, he says, "Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the work of your hands. You put all things under his feet. All sheep and oxen and all the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea." How else is your significance determined in relation to Yahweh, our Creator, Lord? He has created you in his image. He has created you, each one of you and me, in his image. Yes. In the first part of verse 5, David says of God with regard to humankind, "You have made him, man, human beings, a little lower than the heavenly beings." Now, I know there's a lot of discussion about how to translate the Hebrew there for heavenly beings. And there's probably a side note or two in your ESV versions. And I want to go into all of that. But I think the ESV has it right here. Over against the awesome, amazing, eternal infiniteness of our Creator God and us human beings, you know, there's that contrast in part with the heavenly beings. To think about it, friends. Our infinitely majestic and powerful Creator Lord has made human beings male and female. In his image, as seen in Genesis chapter 1 onward in the Bible, only human beings, only we alone have been created in Yahweh's image. Only we alone have been created in Yahweh's likeness. And as David indicates, our Creator, Lord God, has made us simply a little lower than the heavenly beings, which we take to refer to those who stand in God's very presence in heaven. Whew! Our Lord God Creator has created you in his image and made you a little lower than the heavenly beings. Wow. There's more. He crowned you with glory and honor. Woo! Isn't that good? Oh, I wasn't going to do this, but let's do it. Just at least look at one person next to you and say, the Lord crowned you with glory and honor. The Lord crowned you with glory and honor, brother. Yeah. Yeah. Now, some of you may have had a hard time getting that out because, you know, I don't know about that. And be careful. My wife might have been wondering about that one. I don't know. He crowned you with glory and honor. No, she says no. He crowned us with glory and honor. Psalm 8, verse 5, David says of humankind, again, in relation to Yahweh, our Creator, Lord, you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. That's amazing. In other words, friends, understand again, what does David do? He's trying to, I believe the Lord in prompting, in the Spirit of God prompting King David to write this down is conveying to us, among other things, that you are significant to the one true Creator God. He has made you. He has created you in his likeness, and he has shown it by crowning humankind, including you and me, with glory and honor, which, by the way, are also characteristics of royalty. And with royalty comes great position. You are royalty and have been given a great position by our Creator God.
My dad is the king.
Amen. And you're royalty. Hallelujah. Now understand, all this is God's doing, right? It's the Lord's doing, not ours. It's not like, oh, look what all I've done and I deserve this, blah, blah, blah. It is not about that at all. It is about God's doing, not our doing. So all praise goes to him who has created us in his image, has crowned us with glory and honor, thereby giving us a prominent place in his universe. Yes? Are you feeling better about yourself this morning? I don't know how you came in feeling about yourself this morning, but I hope you're starting to feel a little better. Hope the truth of the Word of God's coming home. There's something else that our awesome Creator, Lord God, has done for you, and that's he's given you a great position with great responsibility. Okay? The Creator, Lord God of all the universe, has created you in his image and has crowned you with glory and honor, but he's also given you a great position with great responsibility. In Psalm 8, verses 6 through 8, King David says of God in relation to humankind, again, he says to him, says to us, you, says of the Lord God, you have given him, man, human beings, dominion over the works of your hands. You have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the seas. Along with a position of royalty that God has granted us by crowning us with glory and honor, comes a great responsibility. He has included you and me as small r rulers over his earthly creation. Yahweh has given us dominion over all the earth. Ours is not an absolute independent rulership. It is a subordinate, submitted, dependent on rulership under God's ultimate lordship. Understand that. And it is a gift, not a right. A gift, not a right. We are not to exercise our God-given authority over all living things on earth in a purely self-centered, selfish manner. We're to carry out our God-given rulership over the earth in light of our God-given identity, our God-given purpose, as those the Lord has created in his image, in his likeness, and appointed to rule the earth as his representatives, knowing that all of us ultimately are in fact accountable to him. By our Lord's design, I've got good news for you today. You are not an insignificant speck of biological matter on some forgotten planet in a forgotten who knows where galaxy. Are you glad for that today?
Yes.
I am too. We are made by the Creator of the universe in his image. He has given us a special position and entrusted to us the privileged responsibility of ruling this planet as his representatives. Whew, you're important. How awesome is our God? Of course, some might reasonably and even rightly argue that as individuals and as a whole, humankind hasn't done a very good job at fulfilling the task that the true Creator Lord God has given us. Sin in its varying expressions has a lot to do with this failure. I mean, quite interestingly, I don't know if you noticed, but in Psalm 8, King David does not refer to the fall of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden and the subsequent problems their sins, not to mention our sins, have caused for this planet. In Psalm 8, David is more concerned with our Creator God's love and care for us rather than the sinful condition of humanity. King David also did not have the advantage of the New Testament, as we do. The New Testament, which reveals so much to us about the perfect God-man, Jesus Christ, who perfectly expressed the truths about humanity in Psalm 8. As Bible commentator Dr. Willem van Gemeren helpfully summarizes from Scripture when he writes, "In his full participation with humanity, Jesus has been crowned with glory and honor because of his responsiveness to the Father. He is the radiance of God's glory and the exact representation of his being. Jesus, the God-man, has suffered death for man and hence has received greater glory and authority. The Father has subjected everything to the Son, and all things must submit to his messianic rule." Whew. Amen. And friends, I would add that according to John chapter 1, we know that in the beginning Jesus was the Word who was with God and the Word who was God. All things were made through him. And from Hebrews chapter 1, we know that in these last days, God has spoken to us by his Son, Jesus, whom God has appointed the heir of all things, through whom he also created the world. And we also know quite clearly from the New Testament that Jesus is King and Lord. Now, I hope you all got that. Your pastor just recently finished a short 4-year expository series on the Gospel of Matthew. But the header theme was what? Discovering King Jesus. And I hope you did. Because we know that he is king. We know that he is the King of kings and the Lord of lords. Hallelujah. Jesus, the one who is perfect, fully and perfectly man and fully and perfectly God, is the full and perfect one of all that David conveys in Psalm 8. Through faith in Jesus Christ, our sins, all of our offensive attitudes, thoughts, words, and actions against our Creator are forgiven. We are restored through faith in him to a new and right relationship with our Creator. As Christians, we are enabled by the Holy Spirit in us to more fully live up to our original God-given significant identity, position, and responsibility, to care for his creation, and as we see so much more, to share the good news that Brother Eric was talking about earlier, to love one another as Christ loved us, to love other people, to serve, to reach out, to care, to comfort. And all even as we look forward to the life to come when Christ's believers will be with him and reign with him forever. Now all this is wonderful. It's great. It's good news. I hope you're receiving it as such today. But my questions are these. Do you know him? Do you know the one true, personal, powerful, majestic Creator Lord in whom you find your true significance? Do you not just know about him? Do you know him? Do you know him personally and intimately? He wants to know you that way, and he wants you to know him personally and intimately. Do you trust him? Have you submitted to him and his rulership, his lordship over you? Are you okay with that? You better be. Abba. Are you in right relationship with your Creator through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ, who came to rescue you from your rebellion against your Creator and forgive you of all the wrong things, the sinful things you think, do, and say before and against him? Do you accept how he sees you and appreciate what he has done for you? Do you believe and embrace the significance that he places on you and the blessings that he has given you? Do you, in fact, friend, believe that the Lord God, creator of the universe, remembers you? He cares for you. He created you in his image. He crowned you with glory and honor. He has given you a great position and a great responsibility. He loves you. He cares for you. He sent his son Jesus to die for you so that you could be right with him. Do you, in fact, believe in him and all these truths? And if you haven't yet done so, I urge you today, consider what you have heard and humbly and gratefully come to the Lord by faith in Christ and start living that new life that he desires for you. And if you have done these things, will you also do as King David did at the end of Psalm 8, where he says, O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. O Lord, O Yahweh, our Lord, our King, our ruler, how majestic is your name in all the earth. Do those words sound familiar? David here does what? He ends the way he began. He ends Psalm 8 the way he begins Psalm 8, by proclaiming the truth about the one true God and praising him. Likewise, friend, in your search for significance, be sure to keep on proclaiming and praising the name of our very personal and powerful Creator Lord. In your search for significance, be sure to start, continue, and finish by proclaiming and praising the name, the glorious name of our very personal and powerful Creator Lord.